If you open your Psalters to page 16 in the back, we'll read Lord's Day 28 of the Heidelberg Catechism. This is the longest Lord's Day in the Catechism. Question and answer 75. How art thou admonished and assured by the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises. First, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hand of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the suffering and death of Christ and thereby obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also, besides that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Whereas Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup. In the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." This promise is repeated by the Holy Apostle Paul, where he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, because we are all partakers of that one bread." And we open the scriptures to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. And the first celebration of this sacrament, the institution of it by Jesus Christ with his disciples at the Last Supper. And we'll read from Matthew 26 verse 17 through verse 30. Matthew 26 verse 17 through verse 30. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We want to read one more passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. And we read verse 22 through verse 25. Luke, chapter 8, verse 22 through verse 25. "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." Beloved congregation, this morning as we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, it's important that we understand what is happening in the sacrament as we partake. One of the words for sacrament in the original language is mystery. And there is something of a mystery that takes place as we partake of the sacrament this morning. That is, when a believer partakes of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, there is more going on than the eye can see. And so it's important for us this morning to understand what happens in the sacrament. And that's important not only for the adult members of the congregation who participate of the sacrament, but that's important also for the children who witness this partaking. Last week when we talked about the sacrament of baptism being administered to children, we noted that that sacrament is a visible sign not only for the children in the congregation, and it has meaning and value not only and not even primarily for the one who receives it, but it has meaning for all the congregation as they witness the sacrament. And this morning, boys and girls, you're going to watch as the sacrament is administered. You're going to see me break bread. The plate of bread and the tray of wine is going to come past you, and you're going to look at it. And that's important. It's important that you see it. And it's important that you understand what's happening in the sacrament. And it's important as well that as you understand it, a longing increases in you, children and young people, to also be participants in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So this morning, I want very simply, from this Lord's Day and from the Scriptures, to explain what happens in the sacrament, what it means for us as we participate. The theme this morning will be the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We'll notice three things. First, that it is commanded. Second, that it is full of meaning. And third, that it is intended for our assurance. Now, you should have been surprised, and I always have been when I read the Heidelberg Catechism, at the language that's used in the first question and answer of the Catechism here. The Catechism tells us that we are admonished in the Lord's Supper and that Christ has commanded us to partake. That's surprising language. Admonition. and command associated with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Ordinarily, when we think of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and coming to the Lord's Supper, we would think of Christ calling us. We would think of being encouraged to partake. But the Catechism says that we are admonished and that we are commanded in the sacrament. It uses those strong words. Why is it that it does that? Well, it does that for two reasons. One reason is that Christ has commanded the sacrament itself. In the institution of the sacrament, He's commanded that we do this. But also in the sacrament itself, there is admonition and there is command to believers. And in our first point this morning, we want to look at those two things. First of all, the sacrament is a command to the church. The institution of the sacrament is recorded in the Scripture four times in three different Gospels, and then it's repeated by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you would have noticed in Matthew 26 as we read it that Jesus uses commands as He speaks to the disciples. He says, "This do, take, eat, drink." Those are commands. And Jesus is instituting this sacrament as something that the church is to administer in her life and in the congregation and the public worship. He's saying, "I expect the church to continue doing this in my absence." He says, "This do in remembrance of me." In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, Paul says, "Ye do show forth the Lord's death till He come." And he means that this is something that the church will repeatedly be doing till the day that Jesus Christ comes again. The church is commanded to administer the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in her public worship. And Christ Himself, in the words that we read, alludes to this when He says in Matthew 26, verse 29, "I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And He means they will. And they will continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper. The church will in all of her history till the day that He comes again. And then there'll be a marriage supper with the Lamb. The church and Christ celebrating together. Now there are some questions about the administration of the sacrament. One of the questions that commonly comes up is, how often is the church to celebrate this sacrament? We're not told in the Scripture how often. John Calvin in Geneva wanted and had the sacrament celebrated every week because he saw it was that important and that essential to the life of the church. We do it just four times a year. Those questions are not that important. What's most important is that we remember this, that this is something that the church is commanded to do and must continue to do till the day that Christ comes again. There's a teaching today which says that the instituted church has finished. And that because the church institute is finished, there is no church anymore to administer the sacraments. And so then they say either the sacraments have to be administered in a home or the sacraments have to be not administered at all. They're discontinued in the last days. That's wrong. It's wrong because Christ, as He also gives the keys of the kingdom to His disciples, to the church, and commands the church to baptize, so also gives the administration of the sacrament to the church. This is not for private use. This is not for administration outside of the congregation. But the elders, under the authority of Christ, administer this sacrament in the congregation. So first there's a command to the church to administer the sacrament. But the Catechism doesn't point primarily to that. It points rather to the command and the admonition that comes to the individual believer. The Catechism says this in answer to the question, "How art thou admonished in the Lord's Supper?" It says that Christ has commanded me and all believers. Now those are very interesting words. This command comes to all believers. And that means, first of all, that this command doesn't come to unbelievers. Christ doesn't come to unbelievers and command them to partake of the Lord's Supper. If you are an unbeliever this morning, if you are living in unbelief, Christ's command to you is to repent of your unbelief and to stay away from the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. This is a command to all believers. But then we should see that it is a command and it is an admonition to every one of us who have faith. They should. They must come to the Lord's table. And this is not just an invitation. This is not just an encouragement to you to come. But this is a command from Christ Himself. You believers should come this morning to the table of the Lord. And you should come even if your faith is weak. Sometimes our faith is weak. And we look at our faith and we say, well, as I look at myself, I don't think I'm worthy of coming. And we doubt the promises of God because we think we're too great of sinners to be received into the presence of God. And in our minds it goes this way. We want to believe the promises. We want to believe in Jesus Christ, but we think, impossible, that's too much. Christ says, you have that desire, you have faith, you must come to the table of the Lord. And that's because in the sacrament and in the institution of the sacrament, Christ recognizes our weak faith. He acknowledges the weakness of our faith. And He admonishes us in the weakness of our faith. And He assures us in the weakness of our faith. He recognizes that because we have weak faith, this is exactly what we need. The sacrament to come to us in the weakness of our faith, to meet us in our need. He admonishes us in the sacrament. That is, He comes to us in the weakness of our faith and He calls us to believe in Him. The sacrament is not so much a measure of the strength of our faith, but the sacrament sets before us Jesus Christ as the object of faith, and it calls us to look away from ourselves and who we are and our worth, but to look to Christ. When we come this morning, our question should not be so much, should I come? But our question as we come in faith should be, what should I be thinking on this morning? What should I be meditating on? And the answer is not yourself and your own unworthiness, but look away from yourself to Christ and to His death and to His suffering set before you in the sacrament and believe. The sacrament is an admonition to believe in Jesus Christ. And then also there's assurance in the sacrament because Christ not only sets before us the cross and the gospel in the sacrament, but He does that as an addition to the Word, as a seal, as a promise that meets us in our need. And so in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, there's acknowledgement, there's admonition, and there's assurance of our weak faith on the part of Jesus Christ. That reminds us of the passage that we read in Luke chapter 8. The disciples were with Jesus in the ship. And a great storm came. And Jesus was sleeping, and in the disciples' mind, it was as though Jesus wasn't there. And so, because Jesus was sleeping and His power in their mind was absent, they feared, they were terrified. And they looked at themselves and they looked at the circumstances that they found themselves in, the storm, and they thought, this is an impossible situation and Christ has abandoned us. And they came and they woke Him. What does Christ do? Three things. He acknowledges the weakness of their faith. He admonishes them for the weakness of their faith. And He assures them in their weak faith. That's there in His rebuke of the wind and His question that follows. He rebukes the wind and the waves, and there's a great calm. And then He asks this question, where is your faith? Where is your faith? You see the admonition there, a rebuke. But He not only rebukes, in the rebuke, He meets them in the weakness of their faith. They feared the storm, and He gave them a sign of His power, a sign of His power over the elements, and He calmed the storm by one word. And that was to assure them not only then, but that was to be an assurance for them as they, as a small body of believers, would live without Him here in this world. So that they would know His power and His presence, not only over such earthly elements, but His power and His presence as the church found itself and as they as believers found themselves in all kinds of difficult situations. He rebukes them. Where is your faith? But He also gives them a sign of His power. And this morning in the sacrament, Christ comes to us like that, and He asks us as we come doubting and trembling and wondering about our worthiness, but looking to Him and longing for assurance and pardon. He says, where is your faith? He admonishes us to believe, to look away from ourselves, and to trust in Him and His righteousness and His sacrifice alone for acceptance before God. But He also gives us a sign, a visible sign to assure us of our being received of God in mercy. Now the Catechism makes that very personal. That Christ commands me and all believers. There's some redundancy there. If it would just say, Christ commands all believers, really it would be saying the same thing. But the Catechism doesn't want us to think of this command and this admonition that comes in the sacrament as something abstract and as something intellectual. I understand that the sacrament is an admonition to all believers. Catechism wants you, me, to feel the admonition of the sacrament this morning. Christ admonishes you. Christ admonishes me individually in this sacrament to believe in Him. You remember the words of Jesus Christ after His resurrection to the women. He says, go tell my disciples and Peter that I go before them into Galilee. And that's what the sacrament, well, that's what the Catechism intends this morning. Christ admonishes all believers, and you, to believe, to trust in Him, to look away from your own worth, and to believe that His blood and sacrifice is full covering for your sins. And so first you have here a command. But then in the second place, let's see that this sacrament is full of meaning for us this morning. And the sacrament is very plain in its meaning, much like the sacrament of baptism. The signs that Christ chooses to symbolize to us the work that He's done in our behalf are very plain. In baptism, we take water, which is the agent for washing, and we sprinkle it as a sign of the washing away of the filth of the body, to symbolize to us the washing away of our sins. It's very plain, easy to understand. And so this morning also with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. One reformer said this: the Lord's Supper is a visible sermon wherein Christ crucified is set before us. It's a visible sermon. And the sermon is this: Christ crucified. Very plain. Your children are going to watch. We talked about this. You're going to watch as in a little while I take one piece of bread, which is bigger than the rest of them, and I break it into two pieces. Jesus did the same thing in Matthew 26. He took and He broke the bread. And then He said to the disciples, "This is My body which is broken for you." What did He mean? There are two things that He meant. One is He meant that His body would be broken. Now we know that Jesus' body itself wasn't broken. In fact, none of His bones were broken. But the breaking refers to His suffering. And in the suffering of Jesus Christ, there was an anguish that tore Him apart, you might say. And the anguish was so intense that in the end He suffered death, the tearing apart of body and soul. And in the tearing of the bread, we are to remember the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross, so also with the pouring of the wine. Christ's blood was shed for us. And that's very plain in the sacrament and in the signs of the sacrament. We are to think on the cross and the suffering of Jesus Christ. His death, that was the breaking of His body and the shedding of His blood. But there's also more in the sign. And that is that Christ took the bread after He had broken it and He said, "This is My body which is broken for you. And this is My blood which was shed for you." And He communicates, the Catechism says, He communicates His body and His blood to us. And then the believer with his hand takes the bread. He receives it. And he eats it. And he takes the wine. He receives it from the hand of the elder. And he drinks it. Those are very important signs to Christ giving His body and His blood to us as our own. And we receiving His body and blood as our own. That points to faith in participation in the sacrament. In a little while, we're going to talk about our hearts as we read the form. And the form says there's this prayer in the form: that we may lift our hearts on high to Christ who sits at God's right hand. And we should remember that as we with our hands take the bread and eat it. And as we with our hands take the wine and drink it, that's a symbol of faith in Jesus Christ, who sits at God's right hand now, and faith that the breaking of His body and the shedding of His blood was the payment for our sins, for me and all believers. And so the signs in the sacrament are very plain, very clear. And as we partake of the sacrament that way, believing the shed blood and body of Christ, And partaking of that in faith, lifting our hearts on high to Christ. We're making a confession. And this is the confession. That His blood and that His body was complete satisfaction for sin for us. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is not a repetition. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is not a re-sacrificing of the blood and body of Jesus Christ, but it is a recall, it is remembrance, it is reminder. Jesus says, "This do in remembrance of me." He doesn't say, "Take my body and blood and offer it over and over and over again as payment for sin." But as you celebrate the sacrament, remember the sacrifice that I will make and that I have made, which is full satisfaction for sin. And so this morning, as we take the bread and the wine, let's remember that too. All of our salvation is found in Jesus Christ, and that's the admonition. That's the command that comes to us in the sacrament. Believe in Him. Trust not your own works and your own righteousness and who you are. But in faith, look to Him as the full payment for your sins. And that's why we can come with weak faith this morning. Christ doesn't say that we have perfect faith and must have perfect faith to come to the table. Christ doesn't in the sacrament distinguish between believers, these believers are worthy, and these believers are yet too weak in their faith to come. But Christ commands all believers to come and to partake of this sacrament. Because this sacrament is not a measure of your faith, but this sacrament is a calling to you to look to Christ, to glorify Him in your mind and in your heart by faith, and to trust Him for all your salvation. So there's the first thing that the sacrament represents to us. The full satisfaction for sin through the suffering of Jesus Christ. And then the second thing is that it represents the ongoing work of God in our lives and our separation from the world. And here, the sacrament of baptism is different to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The sacrament of baptism is initial. The sacrament of baptism represents our permanent union to Christ in regeneration, in the Holy Spirit who dwells in Christ, our head, coming into us. That's what's represented in baptism. And so baptism is administered but once. The Lord's Supper represents our ongoing communion with Christ. That we need to have this communion with Christ day by day. And so we come again and again to partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, because it's not enough that once we partook of Christ, but we need Him. We need Him every hour. And there's further admonition here then in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That admonition is that we exercise our faith daily through prayer and through the study of the Word of God. Our religious life is not to be only the life that we express and the confession that we give here in the Church of God, but we need God today in the sacrament, and we need Christ today in our worship, but every day of our lives. And that's why this is a repeated sacrament. We're constantly dependent on Him. The Catechism points to this in question 76. The second part, it says in the first part, this sacrament is not only a sign of our embracing with a believing heart all the suffering and death of Christ, which we've already talked about, but it's also this, to become more and more united to His sacred body by the Holy Ghost who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, notwithstanding, are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we are that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the body are by one soul. And it means this: more and more, today and tomorrow and ever in our lives, increasingly, we need him. We depend on him from day to day. And the sacrament this morning is an admonition to us as we leave as well to turn to Christ, to continually depend on him, not to walk independently here in this world, not to live our lives with a kind of pompous attitude, I'm saved, but to live in humility and daily dependence on him. The sacrament tells us that. And then it's an admonition as well to separate ourselves from the world, because this communion that we're talking about with Christ is covenant life with him, and covenant life with God means separation from the world of ungodly men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul makes that very plain in verse 21. He says, "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." That's part of the meaning of this sacrament. Paul doesn't mean that that's impossible. You can do it externally. You can partake of what the world has to offer and its way of life, and the cup of devils, as he calls it here. You can have communion with the ways of the world and come to the table of the Lord. You can. Not you may, but it's possible that you do. But he's saying this: if you do, you don't have any true communion with Jesus Christ. Then the sacrament has no meaning for you. You cannot commune with Christ and have that communion with the world. Communion with Christ demands separation from the world. This is a meal ordained only for the faithful. And then also, the rich meaning of this sacrament is a representation of our communion with each other. When Christ, in the institution of the sacrament, distributed the bread, he broke it from one piece and gave it to his disciples. He made many pieces from one loaf. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says, "We being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." And through the sacrament we receive this testimony that we many are one in Jesus Christ. We're no longer merely physically united to each other in Adam, our head, but now there's a spiritual union to each other in Jesus Christ, our head, through the Spirit that he gives to every one of us. That's very important as we leave the table. Again, there's an admonition. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25 says that we should put away lying and evil speaking, for he says, "Ye are members one of another." And as we leave the table of the Lord, we should remember that too. We're members one of another. There should be a willingness and a readiness to serve the other members of the body, to participate together in communion with Jesus Christ, and to put away all envy and hatred and evil speaking in the Church of Jesus Christ. So this is the rich significance of this sacrament. Now we want to conclude by speaking of why the sacrament was given. It's not because we're unbelieving to change us, but it's a sacrament not to get faith, but to strengthen the faith that we have. There are many signs in the sacrament. There are many promises attached to the sacrament. And we doubt those signs and we doubt those promises. And so Christ comes and He makes them visible for us. He presents them to us in a way that we can see them with our eyes. He comes to you and this, you and me this morning, and He says, "What are your doubts? What are you afraid of? What are you concerned about? Are you doubting that you're forgiven? Well, remember, My body was broken and My blood shed as a full payment for sin. You are forgiven." He says, "Are you doubting that you'll be able to persevere in grace? Remember that you commune with Me and you continually receive of Me from the beginning to the end, till the day when you come to Me in glory. You will persevere. I feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls." What are you doubting? Are you doubting that there's heaven and that there's eternal life? "Well, I will eat of this cup with you again in the new heavens and the new earth." And He comes and He gives to us visible signs to assure us in our faith. Do you remember the words of Jesus to Thomas? "Reach hither your finger and your hand." There's rebuke in those words to Thomas. But Thomas has faith, and Jesus is speaking to the faith of Thomas to build him up, to assure him. So He comes to us in the sacrament this morning. Your faith is weak. You have doubts. You have concerns. You have fears, like the disciples in the boat, like the disciples at the Last Supper. And He says, "Here, here, see, touch, taste My body, My blood, was shed for you, and I will feed and nourish you to life eternal." Amen.